September 10th, featuring music by Breakestra, the world premiere of The End of Cinematics by Michael Rouse, and the four-day wall-to-wall guitar festival. Visit KranertCenter.com for information on the entire season. Support for today's broadcast comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods. Now through Labor Day, World Harvest is featuring Welcome Back Food Tastings for returning students, faculty, and residents Monday through Friday along with their Saturday tasting. Also, they've expanded their line of Turkish foods and delicacies. World Harvest Foods at the intersection of 6th and University, Champaign.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. In this hour of the program, we'll be doing one of those shows we call Talk to the Manager, and something we actually haven't done quite in a long time. We like occasionally to give people the opportunity to make comments on programming. Of course, you can do that anytime. You can do that by calling us. You can send an email. You can write. But occasionally, we also do the programs here on the air and give you the chance to call in and tell us about things you like, what you don't, comments, suggestions, they're all welcome. And we do have a particular reason for doing the show right now because there are some significant changes in our program schedule that will be going into effect next week on the 1st of September. And I know that Jay Pierce, our station manager, wanted to have a chance to talk a little bit about it. So he will tell us about that. And as I say, we'd be very happy to have any comments and questions you have on the programs that we air on either of our stations, WILL AM or FM. And did I mention the guest, Jay Pierce, station manager of WILL Radio? Thank
you. Morning, David. Yeah, well, it's always a pleasure to be here.
You want to say a couple things real quick right at the top about programming changes?
We could talk about some of those really quickly. What's happening is on the AM station, we'll no longer be affiliated with American Public Media. That's a financial move. So we won't be able to run As It Happens anymore at 7 o'clock on weekday evenings, nor Marketplace Money at 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings, nor the rebroadcast of A Prairie Home Companion at 2 o'clock on Sundays, nor Writer's Almanac, which runs at the end of the noon hour in the afternoon magazine. Odyssey, which we air at 3 o'clock Monday through Friday, is going out of production. So we have to replace those programs. So instead of Odyssey and As It Happens at 3 and 7, you'll hear a program called The World. In place of Marketplace Money, Saturday mornings, we'll have Rick Steves Travel Radio. A Prairie Home Companion moves to our FM station, same time, and we'll replace it at 2 o'clock on Sundays with Tavis Smiley. And Writer's Almanac just goes away. Yeah. You can hear it at 8 o'clock in the morning on our FM station, though. And then we have some changes on FM that if anyone has questions about, we can get into. The most significant, I guess, is that Prairie Home Companion will be moving to our FM station, 90.9, on Sunday afternoon, same time as it was on AM 580. And because of that, the Prairie Performances series will move to 7 o'clock Sunday evening, which is the evening concert slot on other days, so it makes sense to move it there. And there's some other changes. We'll get to those.
Yeah, okay. So just so people understand, you know, we get a lot of our programs from National Public Radio, but there are some other program distributors.
Right.
And APR, American Public Radio, was one. And for some reason, they formed another branch, American Public Media, that was distributing these other programs. And to get those shows, we had to pay another bill.
Right. What happens is you have to pay an affiliation fee to National Public Radio, Public Radio International, and now American Public Media, which was formed by Minnesota Public Radio, which owns some of the programs that were distributed by Public Radio International. There you go. So instead of paying fees to two agencies, we had to begin paying them to three, and we just couldn't afford to continue doing that. And you also pay for the programs beyond paying the affiliation fee. You pay for the program. So, for instance, we'd have to pay American Public Media $8,000 just to belong to the club, and then to play golf, we'd have to pay the other fees for the programs. It would have cost us $14,000 to continue broadcasting As It Happens, Marketplace Money, and A Prairie Home Companion on the AM station and Writer's Almanac, too. That's money we just could not afford, and I think the one statement that I can say is one that I put at the top of the FAQ that we have about this on our website, and that is that our operating budget for radio this year, as it stands, is $100,000 less than it was 5 years ago. And that's a result of a combination of cost increases and revenue challenges, shall we say. most of those having to do with our tax-based sources of funding. So listener support has increased. The support of local businesses is up, but not by as much as a combination of declines in revenue from the tax-based sources and increased costs have attacked our budget. We're five full-time positions down from where we were 5 years ago. And yet I, you know, I think we've kept up the quality on the air as best we have been able to. We have had some changes. You know, Fresh Air used to be on the air, and What Do You Know used to be on the air as well. And we've had to replace those in the last 5 years because of budget challenges. And now we, you know, we have this one to get through. I think the tide is turning. The tide is definitely going to turn. We're going to make the best of this, and we're going to put some new programs on the air that we hope people will enjoy, rearrange the schedule a little bit, and we'll see what happens. You know, what's going to happen next year? Well, we'll see. We still don't know what our federal budget is going to be for this year, because Congress still has to act on funding for public broadcasting, and they probably won't do that until late September, early October. So we, you know, we can't complete our budget, even though our fiscal year started in July. So we're operating the best available information we have, trying to be as fiscally prudent as we can, good stewards of our listeners and taxpayers' dollars. So yeah, that's how it stands today.
Yeah, that's always been a problem for us, because we operate on the same fiscal year as the state of Illinois does. Mm-hmm. So that means our fiscal year begins on the 1st of July, but the federal fiscal year begins in October.
Yeah.
So, and I know that it's been that way year after year after year, that you don't know what the federal money is going to be, usually not until sometime in September.
Well, usually by now we have an idea. And we have that idea, but the problem is we don't know what the government is going to do. We don't know what Congress is going to do. Because as you remember, the House passed a 45% cut. The Senate restored it. We don't know what a conference committee is going to do. We don't know if we're going to get that full restored amount or whether it's going to be some percentage of a cut. It likely won't be what the House did. So it may fall somewhere in between. So what we have to do is we just have to say, all right, we probably won't get less than we did last year, and kind of budget, you know, based on that. So this is the budget that we've been able to deal with, and this is the arrangement we've had to go with.
All right. So, well, this is an opportunity now for people who are listening to ask questions, make comments. You have comments on the programs you hear on the station. We are very happy to take them. We have a couple of people ready to go. And let me give you our number again, 333-9455. That's the one for people who are here in Champaign-Urbana. Also, we have the toll-free line, 800-222-9455. So we will save you the money on the call if it would be a long-distance call for you. We'll start with someone here in Urbana. Line one.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I just want to tell you that, like most people in Champaign-Urbana, I can't imagine what I would do without WILL, AM, and FM. And also want to thank you for how accessible you folks are when I want to call in for a question or a comment, you know, during the regular, not just talk to the manager. I'm a big listener to FM, and I have set my radio to the music level. And then when the announcers come on, their microphones seem to be adjusted downward in volume. So if I'm not right at the radio and can turn up my volume and hear all the good comments from the announcers, I kind of miss them, especially when I'm driving because of road noise. And I was just speaking with Jay Schumacher, and I forgot to mention this. And I always appreciate being able to talk to Jay. He's very accessible. Jay.
He's Jake. I'm Jay.
Right. So I just thought if you pass that along, or
sure
listen
will.
Yourself. But I always have to, you know, tune up my radio a little louder when the announcers speak, and I hate to miss their announcements.
Yeah.
They have good things to say, as interesting things to say, as well as what piece and who the artists are.
I will pass that along to our not only the announcers but the engineering department, and we'll see if there's something we can do about that.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, yeah. We'll just go on here, and our next person is in Kankakee, line number 4. Hello.
Good morning, David Inns.
Hi.
Guest WILL Urbana Station Manager Jay Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Your caller will not find it overly difficult to get along without the daily 3 o'clock p.m. program Odyssey, because as a rebroadcast call-in program, Odyssey has been having limited utility for this university community.
Mm-hmm.
Odyssey, like Focus 580 and the Afternoon Magazine, has been having many fine guests, and Odyssey also has a fine host. But unlike Focus 580 and the Afternoon Magazine, the rebroadcast of Odyssey, of course, has not been offering the listener the option of interacting with the guest.
Good point.
The listener-guest interaction can be a most valuable part of a call-in program. What your caller would wish to have happen at 3 o'clock p.m. daily is an expansion of the public square program to 1 hour per day. This would permit members of the university community to debate questions, to get up on the soapbox, or just generally express themselves. The program would be pre-recorded, and submissions, some of them of an extended length, could have a tendency to result in responses, which also could be recorded as they came in. Such responses to be broadcast later in feedback sessions, so the time scale of the program could range over days and weeks. Your caller is a broadcaster from way back who would be interested in coordinating a venture such as this if WILL recognizes the value of an expanded public square. You can email him at public.square@gmail.com. Jay Pierce, what do you think?
We don't have a public square for today. We can't even fill 3 minutes a week, let alone an hour a day. How about that?
You can do it.
Well, how do we do that when we can't fill 3 minutes a week?
You can do it. There are so many fine minds around the university.
But they're not responding to 3 minutes a week. How do we fill an hour a day?
When somebody goes out to get them.
That's 20 a day,
yes, sir.
We can't fill one a week.
Yes, sir. When somebody goes out to get them.
We go out to get them. We go out to get them. Believe me, we try. And I don't know why people haven't responded to it, because there was such a clamor to start this a year ago, and we did. And you know what? We can't even get one person a week out of 42,600 listeners to our radio stations to come forward and talk for 3 minutes. That's a commentary I'm placing on the lap of the community right now. We opened up the airwaves, and we've advertised it. We've promoted it. We've had a couple of people do repeat commentaries. So, you know, in the course, we haven't even had 52 different people do it in the last year.
They're going to emerge.
Where are they?
They're in their offices, in their fraternities, sororities. They're everywhere. But
well, you go round them up and fill the 3 minutes a week, and then we'll talk about doing an hour a day.
Will do. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, great.
Right, well, thanks for the comments.
Yeah.
We're here this morning in this part of Focus 580.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being very frank about it.
Well,
it's frustrating to me personally when you open up 3 minutes a week and everybody goes, "This is great," and then you can't fill 3 minutes a week. And we cajole. We have to cajole sometimes. We don't solicit particularly. We don't walk up to people and go, come on in and do a three-minute commentary. But we do remind people, you know, hey, you're calling me and talking about this issue that you think is important. Why don't you do a public square, you know, on it and stuff? And we do this all the time. So I don't know.
Our guest here in this hour of Focus 580 is Jay Pierce. He's station manager for WILL Radio, and this is one of those programs we call Talk to the Manager. We are certainly interested in your comments about the programs you hear on WILL. If you have questions, questions about why it is that we do things a certain way, sometimes people have suggestions about things that we might try to do. And we're always, we cannot promise we can make everybody happy, but what we can promise is that we will listen and we will think very carefully about what it is you have to say.
What is coming on at 3 o'clock is a program called The World, and this is an international news program that is hosted by a woman named Lisa Mullins from Boston. And it is a program that what I would say the best way to describe it is it takes some of the best of BBC type and BBC global reporting and mixes it down into a program that is intended to be more relevant to a United States audience. So we'll see how that works.
So it sounds like it actually should be a good show.
I'm looking forward to it. People will
like it.
Yeah. And I will entertain the public square idea. You know, I mean, I don't know if everybody wants to listen to everybody for an hour at 3 o'clock every day, but I entertain, you know, I'm not discounting something out of hand. I'm just trying to point out the problem that we've had dragging people into the public square to begin with. And if you want to do a public square, you can look on our website and get complete information on how to do it.
All right. Let's talk with someone in Indiana, line two. Hello.
Hello. I don't basically have any complaints because I really sympathize with the situation you're in. Though there are a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed try to listen to David's program every day if possible. It doesn't always work out. But occasionally I leave it on your station, and I've noticed when they talk about David's program, what's happening the next day, I've never heard anybody talk about the 10 o'clock. They always talk about the 11 o'clock. And I don't know whether that's intentional or just, you know, it's been coincidental the last few months or what. So that, in the sense that, what's on at 10? I'll try to get on at 10 o'clock. Like this morning, I missed it. I got on at 10 after 10 and heard you talking, and I realized who you are and what the situation is. You're talking about programs that are moving around and dropping and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered why there wasn't any sort of pre-advertising or whatever for the 10 o'clock hour throughout the day, unless I'm just, you know, just coincidentally hearing the one that just talked about the 11 o'clock. I'd like to hear, you know, you'd think they can talk a little faster. They might be able to get both of them in.
Well, you know, that's a consideration. I know that Dan Simeone does that sometimes in the morning. He'll promote both hours at the same time. Actually, what we have is we have promotion for both hours, and they are intended to alternate. And you know, it's like the 10 o'clock hour one gets read once and then the 11 o'clock hour gets read. But I guess it depends upon who's reading it and when and how it gets rotated. Maybe we can look into that and making sure we have a little bit more balanced thing. Or maybe we can have David sit down and hammer out a third promotional announcement that would include a little synopsis of both hours.
Well, that'd be nice if he has the time to do that, of course.
Oh, he's got loads of time. He only works 2 hours a day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, right. Okay. I see the other thing is in terms of the Odyssey program, when it started, I wasn't really gung-ho so much about it, though I realized the lady was pretty sharp on the questions she asked. Then when I got into it, I started liking it a lot, but my main complaint would have been what that other gentleman said, that you can't call in.
Yeah.
And I even got to the place where I thought, well, if I could find out what time it is on the morning, maybe they have a streaming, you know, but I never went through that.
No, they do that show. That's live at noon in Chicago.
Yeah, and I figured it's on an FM station.
Yeah.
WB's, I thought about putting up a nice big tower and putting a big log antenna towards it.
Well, the whole thing's going away anyway. So.
Yeah, and now it's out of production, which
do you have any information on that?
Or is that proprietary?
Well, no, it's basically what's happening is they tried to distribute it nationwide. We were the first person, or the first station, I mean, outside of Chicago to carry it. Even before they were distributing it, we were giving it a shot. And of course, we couldn't run it live at noon because we do the afternoon magazine there.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was handicapped somewhat by the fact that it wasn't live. But they got up to, I honestly don't know the number, but not enough stations were picking up the program to make it viable to continue doing it. And the point of the program was never to be just a Chicago program. It was to be a nationally syndicated program. And since they didn't hit that goal, it's just it's one of those unfortunate things that happens. It's very expensive to do a program like that.
Yeah, so. It's really too bad because one thing I liked about it introduced you to female academics who are doing things, some of them quite important, and things I still keep tabs of, and I thought that was very effective in that way. But I liked it. But if it came to a choice, I'd rather keep David's program, you know, come right, you know, down to the bottom line.
Oh, it was never a choice between those two.
But yeah.
David will be here until we, I don't know, until radio goes away.
Well,
and then he'll just be circling out the air. The radio waves will be going around.
To do about it. You might be gone.
They finally land on Mars. They'll be hearing David's old programs coming out, you know, through the galaxy. So, there you go.
That'd be nice. Thanks a lot.
Right. Thanks for the call. Thank you very much.
We will continue. Next caller is in Belgium over by Danville. That's line 3 right here. Hello.
Good morning, sirs.
Hi.
Obviously, I'm a very avid listener. You hear from me very regularly, mm-hmm. I know. I travel a lot in the summer times, and I go across the nation. I'm always looking for public radio stations to listen to. I use your little whoopee map that I got years ago.
Whimper map.
Whimper map, okay. Whimper,
excuse me.
Whoopee, whimper, what's the difference?
I used to work at a radio station that's nickname was Whoopee.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I've noticed public radio stations are very different all across the United mm-hmm. States, and we're very lucky to have WILL. Not to make your heads big or anything, but WILL, especially Mr. Inge and Ms. Quinlan, also have something else that's going very strongly for them, and that happens to be your listeners. And I don't want to pound myself on the back, but people who call in and ask questions on your shows are an enormous help to your program. How you were able to develop that, I don't know. They send you money, and then they also help your programs. I mean, Mr. Inge and Ms. Quinlan both do a lot of homework. I've always thought I'd love to be in their dining room at night and listen to what they have to say over supper, because it must be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I've gone to some of these places, and you just don't get anything close to what we have. But yet at the same time, if you go to states like Wyoming, little state that doesn't have very many people over, you can hear public radio all over their state.
Mm-hmm.
All over.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how far up a mountain you're on, you got a station. But we can't seem to get very far. You know what I mean? I'm right at the very edge of your broadcasting, and I definitely disappear. You guys definitely disappear at night, and I listen to you on streaming and everything else like that. It'd be so nice if we could just kick it up a notch so we could hear you all night long, too.
Boy, I wish.
I understand all the problems. I've been here years and years, and I know all about it. But, you know, I think we ought to at least give a little pat on the back for some of your listeners that really help. The gentleman over there in Bloomington. I think we've lost a fellow that was over in Peoria that used to get on every now and comment, and a fellow who is in Bloomington Normal we used to hear every now and again. We'd come up with some interesting comments. Obviously, your listener who is in, Northern Champaign County
mm-hmm.
always has some insightful views.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure you've noticed the people I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Constant listeners are more than welcome to add to the program.
We call you the regulars inside the building here.
Yes, the regulars. The gentleman who seems to be of Latin descent, I think he's from mm-hmm. Urbana, a very interesting fellow, has some very interesting comments. I think you should give kudos to them every now and again.
Okay. I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
Thanks to you, yeah.
Well,
and if we don't do it enough, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, no.
It is the interaction. Yeah. That you provide the excellent questions, and you know the guests on the programs frequently comment on the intelligence of our audience and the excellent questions that are brought into the discussion here. And I think David will say, and so would Celeste, you know, they can't do the program by themselves, and this is exactly why we do it, to try to promote a dialogue, and it's all of you who support the station not only financially but by participating that help make it happen.
I've listened to stations in San Francisco, all different places, mm-hmm. and you don't seem to have the same interaction these other places. Yeah. Maybe it's because we're Midwesterners. I'm not sure, but there sure seems to be something about mm-hmm. we don't seem to yell and scream and carry on quite like some of these, you know, Rush Limbaugh-type stations, which I would never listen to anyway. But it's very interesting combination you have, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much,
sure.
And thanks for the call today. And I just want to mention that, you know, you're exactly right. It's these programs that we are working so hard to preserve. Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, our regional news, the agriculture programming, the weather service, the live local hosts on our FM station with classical music and the comments that they make, the education you get about the music. It's the involvement in the local arts community. It's the outreach that we do in the community, town hall meetings, special things like Smile Healthy, the youth media workshop. You know, working with students at University High and Westview second graders, this is all what we do to be a part of the community, to have an impact, to be locally relevant. And when a program like Marketplace Money or As It Happens goes away because we need to save that $14,000, that $14,000 is going back to help sustain this locally originated programming that has come to be the signature of WILL. It's what we do. And it's expensive. It would be a lot cheaper to run Talk of the Nation and Diane Rehm and Fresh Air all day, but I'm not sure how that would differentiate us, as this caller so accurately pointed out, from everything else that's out there. And I know a lot of people like those programs, but you know what? They're available online, and they're available on satellite radio and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess what we're trying to do, as this whole technical picture changes and everything becomes more globally available, we're trying to preserve our niche, our purpose, our mission, is to serve the people within our signal area. And I wish it were bigger, too. And if we have some more calls, we should get to them. But I can talk more about the future of the signal and how we are going to finally be able to go whew, and overcome that 100-watt nighttime thing. And we can get to that in a few minutes.
Well, let's talk to some other folks. Our guest this morning is Jay Pierce. He's our station manager for WILL Radio. This is one of those shows we call Talk to the Manager, and we're interested in your comments on the programs we have on the station. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Let us continue, and I think our next caller is someone in Moultrie County and on line number 4. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say two things. One, I agree, of course, with all the comments about what a tremendous advantage we have in this area to have WILL. I mean, I've lived various places, too, and traveling around, and I've never come across anything remotely like it.
Thank you.
The other thing is, I just wanted to register a vote. I get one out of 42,000, I guess.
42,600.
600, okay. Against putting Prairie Home Companion on Sunday afternoon. That's going to kind of leave a big hole in our Sunday afternoons. We always listen to at least part of it on Saturday evening, but I've mm-hmm. always enjoyed the...
Oh, it's going to be on Saturday evening, too.
Right,
yeah.
I know. But I've always enjoyed the Prairie performances and so forth on Sunday afternoon. So I'll have to get out the portable CD player, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to make that comment. I know you have good reasons for it. I'm sure you've done your marketing research and so on, but it's not good for us in particular.
Okay. Well,
thank
I appreciate
you.
That comment, yeah. And I can talk about some of the rationale for that. That's a program, you know, as it leaves the AM station, that's one of the more popular programs that we've had, you know, on Sunday afternoons on the AM station. Just looking at the audience, like 2,800 people at a given time listening to it. And so, you know, our feeling was, well, we have to optimize the use of our two frequencies. You know, we do treat them in large part as separate stations, but... at the same time, we do have to look at that, 2,800 people, you know, versus, well, if you look at Sunday at 2 o'clock on the FM station, there was about half that audience going right now. And not that we want to discount that half. We are moving that program to Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at a time when there is no audience on the FM, according to the latest Arbitron. So we're hoping to help out the Sunday evening on the FM station. We're hoping to help out the Sunday afternoon to give most of the Prairie Home listeners. I know that not everybody who can hear Prairie Home on the AM can even hear our FM station on Sunday afternoon, but we're hoping to give a place for it. And it's a very, very expensive program, and so we do have to run it, in our feeling, twice to get as much exposure as we can, to spread that cost out over two audiences, to get two audiences worth of fundraising for it, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the answer. I'm not going to force you to like that answer, but that is the answer.
Okay. So,
all right. But appreciate your comment, and I hope you'll follow the Prairie performances to Sunday evenings. Second Sunday concerts. Let me talk about that quickly because I know a lot of people have enjoyed them, and we're going to continue the second Sunday concerts. They will still be held live on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They won't be broadcast live at that time because we'll be broadcasting a Prairie Home Companion.
Right.
But the concerts themselves will be held live. We will record them and play them back. This is where it gets confusing. We'll play them back on the first Sunday evening, that's of the next month, following the second Sunday concert. So you'll have the second Sunday concert, then a couple weeks later on a Sunday evening, you'll hear it. So you'll have a chance to still go live and see the concert. You just won't hear it at that time on the air, but you will hear it.
So. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Let's go right on to the next caller.
I wish
caller.
We had like eight channels, you know, that we could
fill up. Well, maybe really when if radio ever goes digital.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to talk about in a few minutes.
All right. Well, let's go on and talk with somebody here. I think in Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hi. I was calling about the first caller who had difficulty with the audio volume from the announcer.
Yeah.
And I decided it's a problem with the inflection of the announcer. The voice drops down to make a range of so it doesn't get monotonous and boring. Bob Edwards had that pretty dramatically, and I think Tom Rogers, the local news announcer, I find him hard to hear when I'm in the kitchen and there's some background noise or driving in the car, and it drives me crazy. But I realize that that's just the way they speak on the radio, and it's just. I doubt there's much that can be done about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably a pretty good analysis of it. It's the dynamic range, the frequency of someone's voice. And a lot of stations do things to compensate for that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll use a lot of processing. We don't do that on our FM station for the reason that we don't want to lose the dynamic range of the music.
Ah.
A lot of stations squeeze everything up so it's all the same volume level.
Yeah.
And then you lose the dynamic range of the music.
Sure.
And especially on our FM station, we don't want to do that. On the AM station, we don't use a lot of processing. We do use some, but we're taking a look at that. You know, some of our equipment's really, really old, and we can't do a lot of the modern tricks of the trade to do stuff. We've always prided ourselves on our signal and how natural it sounds. You don't get a lot of distortion and stuff.
Right.
But at the same time, you do lose that. And it is hard to hear. You know, when you have the road noise going, it is sometimes hard to hear. So we are working on that. And as soon as we get to the end of the rainbow, we find that pot of gold, we'll go out and we'll buy a nice Omnimax or Omnia, I guess, is the new one, or a new Orban digital processor, and we'll tweak ourselves. And, boy, you'll hear everything.
Well, I know you're doing your best, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for the comment. You're right. That's what it is. Yeah. We have a very natural sound, and that's a natural speech pattern, I think. But we can make sure that they do have the fader up enough, you know, so it's up to the level, and they're watching their meters and things like that. We can do that.
Sure. Yeah. So, hey, thank you.
Right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Our next caller is in Bloomington, Indiana. This is line number one. Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Yes. Hey.
Earlier this summer, I actually picked up your FM program. I think there was some unusual atmospheric conditions that allowed that.
We've had some great ones this summer for distance listening. Yeah.
Right.
Where were you?
I'm Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, wow. Great town, by the way.
As far as I know, there's two listeners here in Bloomington. One, the other fella, you know, calls in with the religious concerns.
Oh, okay.
But there may be more, and I always recommend people to listen to this program. In fact, the WFIU, which is the NPR affiliate station with Indiana University, when I speak to them about your station, they're all aware of you, but there's this collective groan because they realize, you know, how extraordinary you are, and they have so far to go in order to catch up to you.
We can help them.
I bet you can. Well, for those who have ears, you know, let them hear. I'm happy you mentioned something about Marketplace, and I really don't miss Marketplace. In fact, when I'm listening to a station other than yours, I'll put something else on rather than listening to Marketplace because it irritates me. It's some, like, business light.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you're missing anything by not carrying it. But I'm also really relieved that you don't do the canned format, with having the usual list of pontificators, you know, that the other NPR stations have, and that's such a treasure to have David Inch and his co-host in the afternoon. So it's quite remarkable and wonderful. But regard to your public square comment, I have not gone to your website to look at your requirements for putting that three-minute packet together, but I was just musing that that is probably the kind of thing that it was really, I can imagine it being very almost insurmountable for people who would like to make comments, but think about the grueling work involved in making their comments concise and you know, making sense and fitting that all in 3 minutes. You know, someone like myself calling in and putting my two cents in, I know I'm going to be off the hook in a couple of, you know, in a very short while. So I encourage you not to pull the plug on the public square.
Oh, I'm not going to pull the plug on it. I was just worried about filling a whole hour every day when it's hard to fill 3 minutes a week.
Right, right. I can imagine. Yeah. The last comment is you mentioned the thing about fees, you know, in addition to being taxed to death, we're being feed to death. And I'm just wondering whether it makes there's any value. And I've thought about this before in going to the NPR, you know, bigwigs in Washington, even going to Don Bunsman and asking him, please give me a breakdown on what the compensation is, you know, for the Big Oz, you know, and all the Big Oz and all his lieutenants.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could probably find that out.
Without going to the...
I don't know how much they make. I know that Bob Edwards made $100,000 10 years ago or something. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but that was the rumor around, you know, that he was the high paid. They're not all very highly paid, I'll tell you that much. It's not like the commercial networks where you got, you know, the million-dollar anchor. There aren't any of those. And it filters all the way down through the system. That's one of the big complaints about people who work in public radio as a manager, I'll tell you. David doesn't complain. But the salary schedule, I'll tell you, for public radio is below what it is for commercial radio, certainly. Is it a fair salary? I don't know. I don't think so. And in a lot of cases, in other cases, yeah, I guess it is. When you get into this business, you understand that this is it's a public service business. It's not a commercial enterprise. Nobody negotiates salaries like you do at a commercial station. At least nobody here has an agent yet. I think David's talking to some people, but he ain't gonna do him any good.
Okay, great. Well, that takes care of all my comments.
All right.
Keep up the good work. Thank you. Right.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And you know, I'm not saying that to be cocky or anything. That's just the way it is. That's the salary schedule is a little bit lower than what you could get at a comparable commercial job. And that's the way it is. It's something I think people understand when they come in. You know, David, you could move to Chicago and work at WGN when Milton Rosenberg retires and probably double your salary. If you'd like to, or you could stay here, and the listeners who have been calling in who appreciate you would still be served by you.
Yeah. The problem, you know, with an agent is they expect to be paid.
Well, you see, that's it. You know, we give you a 15%, you negotiate 15% more the agent.
And then the agent would get it. Exactly. Exactly. We have about 15 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. Jay Pierce is here. He's the station manager for WYLL Radio. This is that show we call Talk to the Manager. It's an opportunity for people to call in and make comments about the programs they hear on the station. You said, did you want to take a second here to talk about upcoming technological stuff?
Yeah, let me do that real quickly because this is another one of these things. It's going to cost money to do this, and we're going to have to find it somewhere. We have applications in for federal grants to help us afford to become digital on radio, and I know this is the early part of the curve for digital, but, you know, things are changing so fast, and we have to keep up with the technology. We have to stay a step ahead. And one of the areas is going to be digital broadcasting. And I know it's going to take a while to get digital radios in people's hands, just like when UHF TV came along. It took a while to get people to have UHF converters. And then, you know, TVs just kind of all became UHF, VHF. But the point of it is that when we go digital on one or both stations, the immediate benefit of going digital on WYLL-FM will be not only you'll be blown away by how digital radio sounds and how good the classical music and the other music we play is going to sound on FM digital, but we'll also have a second channel. available to us on that digital frequency. And so we'll be able to put WILL AM's programming on that. And if you have a digital radio, you'll push that button that says secondary audio channel, and you will get WILL AM's programming everywhere that you can hear WILL FM 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So Decatur, you know, you're listening to us and it's... Even the southwest side of Champaign, where most of the development is, we're so subject to power line interference and lightning and atmospheric conditions on AM. Now, the signal won't travel as far, you know, on FM. It doesn't travel as far as the AM does, north, south, and east. But we'll get that area to the west, and we'll go anywhere you can hear the FM at 90.9. The second thing is, if WILL AM goes digital itself, the signal won't go any farther. We won't be at any bigger power at night, but it will be less susceptible to power line interference, fluorescent lights, computer networks, the whole nine yards. It'll basically sound like FM. Mm-hmm. So everywhere that you can currently hear us, if you're getting staticky noise and things like that, you'll hear us better. It won't be subject to the interference that you get. One other thing, since we're on this technology thing real quickly, we have been scraping by trying – Jack Brighton – you know, bless his heart, the guy has been keeping this website, just advancing this thing. And, you know, we're podcasting programs now. This is radio on demand. You can listen to Focus 580 anytime you want. You don't have to listen. You don't have to drop what you're doing at 10 o'clock in the morning anymore or kick yourself at 2 in the afternoon because you missed it. You can go to our website and you can listen to it again off the website, or you can look at the podcasting thing, the RSS site. Man, you can sign up to have Focus 580 delivered to your computer. So when you get home from work at night, you just open up and boom, there's your Focus 580. Or you can download it into your iPod or whatever you have, MP3 player, and put your headphones on, and it's better than talking books.
Yeah. That was, you know, over the years, it's
oh my.
We've had, I know, particularly when we've done some of the shows where we've had engineers here, over the years, the things that some people asked over and over again, they said, what I'd like to have is something like a VCR for my radio.
And we're getting there.
And now, if you've got a computer and you've got an internet hookup, you got it.
We have to, because people have gotten so used to TiVo and DVRs that they want radio on demand now, and we have to be there for them. And it's going through the roof. The number of subscriptions, I don't have the number off the top of my head, Jack told us, and I was floored by the number of downloads that we've had of these shows. Yeah. Media Matters, Keeping the Faith, anything we produce locally we can do that with because we have the rights to it. So there you go. It's heading into the future, but, you know, this digital radio thing is going to be great for a lot of folks. Decatur area, Monticello, Mahomet, where it's kind of hard to hear the AM station, you'll be getting the full boat on the digital FM channel. So hopefully we'll be able to do that within a year or two. We'll see.
Great. Well, let's talk with some more folks here. Let's talk with somebody, I think, in Urbana, line 3. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Don't you guys worry about, turning corners or keeping up with commercial radio stations? You guys are doing a wonderful job, and WILL is the best radio station in the world. If I want to listen to news, I listen to AM. If I want to listen to music, I listen to FM. And, every once in a while, in a blue moon, I've listened to these commercial stations, and all they do is remind me of why I like WILL. As for the things being a little rough now, politically speaking, over the last few years, I would say it's been probably very rough. For quite a while now for public radio. And, they say it's darkest right before the dawn. Things can always turn around. A couple years we have a new election or things just change politically in the country and things can get better. It doesn't always happen right away, but I would say you guys are doing a wonderful job and, you know, just keep plugging along and see how things are in a couple of years.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And, you're exactly right. And thanks for, that reinforcement. Things are turning the corner. We've been through a really rough 5 years. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? Each one of these years, listener contributions keep increasing. And I know that we went $30,000 over our goal in the last fiscal year. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, you did that. Why are you still, you know, talking about this stuff? Well, yes, we did go $30,000 over our goal. People say, well, if you needed more than $30,000, you know, if you needed more than that goal or $30,000, why didn't you raise the goal? Well, you have to be reasonable when you set a goal. And we thought we were going out on a limb at $850,000. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised that listeners come through like that, but I'm overwhelmed with the response that we get. But we can't, you know, I mean, it's, you have to be reasonable. And should we say, well, our goal, we're going to be setting the goal for this fiscal year soon. $1 million? I mean, that's what we need. But I don't know. You know, we have a development department that when I tell them we need $1 million, they go, okay, well, let's see what we can reasonably expect to get. And, you know, somewhere in between it lies. You know, I wish I knew what the federal picture was going to look like because we could talk about exactly what our budget's going to be this year. I'm optimistic that it's going to be pretty good, and we're going to be able to heal. We have some healing to do, frankly, and that's part of this $14,000 we need to save here. We negotiated another $14,000 in discounts from NPR again. Public Radio International is giving us some discounts again. We're holding the belt tight on a couple of other areas. We're not going to be in a real expansion mode right now, but I think it's going to be a healing year. See, we've had a reserve to ride on and kind of help us from making cuts while we were building up and listener support was going up and the like. But you know, we've run through the reserve pretty much, and so now we're at a point where we've got to balance the budget. The last 2 years, we haven't been able to do that on its own. We've had a little help us. But this year, we're going to balance the budget. I feel like Jim Edgar when he went and became governor and balanced the budget, yeah. You know, and people are calling on Jim Edgar to come back and balance the budget again, I guess. I don't know if he's going to run again. But, you know, I always kind of feel like that because I remember, you know, how hard it was to go through that. And we're kind of going through that right now. But, you know, how much better it is when you come out on the other side.
Yeah.
I guess that's a matter of opinion on whether Illinois ended up better or not. But I think we're all going to feel better in a year or two, I hope.
We hope so. Well, yeah. Let's see if we talk at least one more person. I have a caller in Pena, line two. Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate WILL, all the stations, AM, FM. I'm over a 50-year listener. When I started to the U of I in 1951, I took a radio with me and soon was listening to WILL of a morning while I was getting ready for school. The station was just down the street from 4th and Chalmers, where I lived. I think it was, I want to say, Gregory Hall at that time. And I've listened to it my whole life, over 50 years. And I listen to it every morning now that I'm retired. I spent 38 years teaching in Illinois using my certificate from the U of I. And WILL and Chief Illiniwek are my two symbols that I still feel close to when I think of the University of Illinois, and I just think a lot of both of them and appreciate all your programs. I love the classical music. I even listen to the farm reports because I live in a farming area. AM, FM. And I started listening in 51 while TV was in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I just wanted to get my word in for senior citizens to say we love WILL and Chief Illiniwek. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And that is some record of listening. You know, television is celebrating its 50th. He was bringing that up. Television is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year on the air. One of the first educational television stations. The FM station here was the first educational station licensed to a university. And WILL AM was one of the very first radio stations on the air. And to stay on the air in Illinois. It, we go back and forth as to whether it was us or WDZ, which started in Tuscola and is now in Decatur. It's, we're like within a month of each other, and I argue that, you know, we beat them by a month to have an officially licensed and call lettered and everything station. So there you go. It's a long legacy, and we just, you know, thank everyone for helping us build this over the years and continue it and keep it strong.
See, we can squeeze in real quick.
Okay,
one
then
more.
I got to go get hog numbers.
Champagne. Oh, you're doing the market report.
I didn't get anyone else to do it unless Henry can find someone else to do it. I have to run in the hog office.
Well, we got a champagne caller here. We'll have to be quick, but go ahead.
Okay, try to make this quick. It seems to me that there's a lot of goodwill toward the station, and whenever there's a fund drive, people are just digging deeper and deeper, but there doesn't seem to be a corresponding political will to support the station through their representatives. I don't know if it's a conflict of interest for the station to bring that up, but I think a lot of people just don't realize this. Mm-hmm. Could you address that? Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I can. Our representatives are very supportive. As a matter of fact, Tim Johnson is one of the few Republicans who's a member of the Public Broadcasting Caucus in the House. Henry, did you get someone to do? Oh, great. We're set. He's a member of the Public Broadcasting Caucus, and he's very supportive. When all of this came up about the potential for the cuts in funding for public broadcasting, all of our area representatives, Chimkus and of course, Johnson, were very supportive, and also our senators. Dick Durbin and Barack Obama, very supportive of public broadcasting. And our state lawmakers have been supportive to the extent that it helps us get our state money. I don't know what else they can do. I guess, like everybody, I'm a consumer of public radio, and I'd love to see, you know, somebody ride up to Capitol Hill and say, darn it, you know, it's time to just decide, are we going to do this or not? And if we're going to do it, let's fund it adequately and go. We do have our supporters. There are also detractors. Fortunately, our immediate area, the lawmakers are very supportive of us. So.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to stop. People, though, can continue to let us know what they think about the programs. They can call us, call the regular station number. Mm-hmm. They can send us email. They can send us conventional mail, whatever manner you'd like to do it.
Yeah,
we want to know what you think.
To those who have sent me emails and I haven't got back to you in the last week or so, I'm going to sit down and do that over
He's
the weekend.
Working.
You're going to get them. The FAQ is now up on the website, and it's going to be added to as we go. And I'll take phone calls and, you know, as we go.
Okay.
Thanks for calling today.
Jay Pierce, our station manager. The broadcast made possible with support from Owens Funeral Home at the corner of Elm and University in Champaign. Locally owned and operated, serving families since 1925. Owens invite you to join them in supporting public radio. The program